Welcome to this week's episode of Until Green Card Do Us Part, a weekly show where we address the issues that immigration-based marriages made a few feet short of heaven create for American citizens and their families. I'm your host, John Sampson, CEO of CSI Consulting. This show is brought to you by CSI Consulting, a technical legal consulting firm that assists American citizens and their attorneys dealing with immigration, marriage fraud, and other visa fraud issues since 2009. This episode is part two of a two-part series explaining conditional permanent residence and how an alien hell-bent on defrauding an American citizen into marriage, and then, once they get their two-year green card in hand, throws the American citizen squarely under the bus by alleging their American citizen spouse abused them, or worse. As we discussed last week, the immigration law was changed in 1986, requiring a two-year trial period in an effort to reduce the amount of marriage fraud. We also touched upon how the immigrant rights activist successfully neutered the law by carving out four waivers for the joint filing requirement for the Form I-751, which is used to remove the conditions of permanent residence. And I had said that there was a waiver of the joint filing requirement in which the alien claimed they were abused by their American spouse and were unable to file a joint petition to remove the conditions of their residency. This is how it works. Under normal conditions, an alien and a citizen get married. The alien obtains a two-year green card, and 90 days prior to the end of that two-year period, both the alien and citizen are required by law to file a joint petition to remove the conditions of the alien's permanent residence. Now, for the vast majority of marriage-based visa cases, this happens without incident. Those are the bona fide marriages, for the most part. I say for the most part because there are some aliens who are smart enough to wait until after they get the conditions removed before they eject out of the marriage. More on that in a little bit. But let's deal with how the alien, once they marry their American citizen spouse, and then gets a two-year green card, uses the domestic violence provisions of the immigration law to avoid having to stay in a marriage for the two-year required period of time. You heard me right. There is a way a conditional permanent resident can avoid all of the conditions of their residency simply by saying the words, quote, "I'm an abused spouse of a U.S. citizen," unquote. And this defeats the entire purpose of the Marriage Fraud Amendments Act of 1986 passed by Congress. As I said last week, all an alien has to do to avoid having to remain in the marriage for 2 years, a marriage made more than a few feet short of heaven, is to allege that they are the victim of abuse or neglect at the hands of their American citizen spouse. So how does this play out, you might wonder? It goes like this. An American citizen meets an alien either on an online dating or matrimonial site, or meets them here in the U.S., or perhaps while vacationing in the alien's home country, overseas. Or in the case in some cultures, the engagement or marriage is arranged by the families of both parties. They begin exchanging emails or go on Instagram, WhatsApp, Zoom, FaceTime, or other electronic communications and or social media platforms to communicate with each other. The relationship flourishes, and the American citizen either files for a fiancé visa, also known as a K-1 visa, and the alien comes to the United States and they get married within the 90-day period required by the law, just like you see on the Learning Channel's hit program 90 Day Fiancé. Then they file the required paperwork with USCIS to adjust the status of the alien to that of a conditional permanent resident alien. This requires what's called an adjustment of status interview before U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Assuming the blushing couples pass the interview, the two-year green card is issued by USCIS. Or, in the alternative, the alien is already here in the United States when the couple meet. The alien is present on some other type of visa, say a tourist visa, a student visa, a temporary worker visa, or what have you, and they get married here in the United States, and the American citizen and the alien file for adjustment of status, and the process begins for the alien to get conditional permanent resident status. An alternative to that would be that they get married in the alien's home country, and the alien gets an immigrant visa through the American consulate based on the marriage and enters the United States as a conditional permanent resident. This process avoids that pesky adjustment of status interview conducted by USCIS. However, the alien has to undergo a consular interview, but it's not as intense as the adjustment of status interview conducted by USCIS here in the States. Once the immigrant visa is issued, the alien comes to the United States and is admitted as a conditional permanent resident alien, and a two-year clock begins to run. In any event, shortly after the alien adjusts status in the States, or the alien comes into the States with a conditional permanent resident visa, the alien alleges their American citizen spouse abused them, or worse, and the citizen is arrested by police and charged with whatever crime the alien claims the American citizen committed against them. In the alternative, the alien can simply go into court seeking a temporary protection or restraining order against their American citizen spouse, alleging that they are the victim of abuse. By doing so, the alien gets the so-called, quote, credible evidence, unquote, they are required to have in order to successfully file for a domestic violence-based waiver of the joint filing requirement for the Form I-751. What is important to know is that the alien, by alleging abuse, does not have to wait the 2 years before they file the I-751. They can file it immediately when they allege abuse. In any event, now armed with the credible evidence needed in the form of police reports, an arrest report, a temporary restraining order, medical records, or what have you, they immediately filed a petition to remove the conditions of their residency long before the two-year period is up. Now let me illustrate this with an admittedly oversimplified and exaggerated example. Hypothetically speaking, the American citizen and the alien get married on a Monday, file for the green card on Tuesday, have their adjustment of status interview on Wednesday, and the alien is approved on that Wednesday by USCIS at the adjustment of status interview, and then on Thursday, the alien accuses the American citizen of abuse, and the alien abandons the marriage, citing abuse as the reason. And then on Friday, they file with USCIS to have the conditions removed from their residency, again, citing the alleged abuse for the waiver of the joint filing requirement. Now, this example I just gave you is an exaggeration of the process because the processing times from when one files for conditional permanent residence to when it is adjudicated usually takes several months or more before it's finished. I just wanted to illustrate how easy it is to perpetrate the fraud using this example. Once they accomplish what they set out to do, the alien files for divorce, citing the alleged domestic violence as the reason for the divorce, and then moves on and establishes a new life here in America without their American spouse who brought them here in the first place. And the American citizen is left to wonder what the hell just happened to them. Now, if criminal charges are filed against the American citizen The alien will have filed all the necessary paperwork to remove the conditions of their residency, and at the same time seeking a waiver of the joint filing requirement, citing the arrest and abuse as a reason long before the criminal case involving the American citizen as a defendant comes to trial or is resolved. All the while the criminal case is pending, you would think there is this presumption of innocence relating to the American citizen. After all, that's a constitutionally protected right. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily so. Let's say the alien spouse accuses the U.S. citizen of spousal rape. That's right, spousal rape. And the American citizen is arrested, jailed, and charged. The case goes to trial 6 months to a year later, or even longer, given COVID. While this case is pending, the alien files for the removal of the conditions on their permanent residence, citing the rape charges as the basis for removing the conditions and seeking a waiver of the joint filing requirement. And let's say USCIS approves the waiver as well as the I-751 and removes the conditions on the alien's permanent residence. The matter now goes to trial several months to a year later, and the alien complainant testifies at trial, and a DA asks the alien, "What's your immigration status?" Alien replies, "I am a full permanent resident of the United States without conditions." The DA asks, "Did you have to file to have the conditions placed on your status removed? And if you did, how did you do this, and what was the result from USCIS?" The alien responds, "I filed an I-751 petition to remove the conditions of my residency, got a waiver of the joint filing requirement because I told USCIS I was a victim of domestic violence rape, and USCIS granted my petition to remove the conditions on my residency. And what documents did you provide to USCIS to get approved?" asks the DA. "I sent the arrest report, the criminal complaint, and other supporting documents," the alien responds. And the jury, upon hearing this, concludes that the so-called, quote, victim, unquote, must be telling the truth, because USCIS granted her petition, meaning USCIS must have conducted their own investigation and believed the alien was credible. Never mind the American citizen never had an opportunity to plead their case before USCIS because they are prohibited by law from doing so. You heard me correctly. The American citizen cannot contest the accusations made against them by their alien spouse to USCIS. Never mind that USCIS never investigates. They simply push paper, adjudicates the application remotely in Burlington, Vermont, and never ever interviews the alien in person prior to adjudicating a Violence Against Women Act-based application. It's all done on the so-called honor system. And now, hopefully, you can see the problem. There is no presumption of innocence, there is no due process, and there is absolutely no equal protection under the law. For all intents and purposes, the American citizen is stripped of their constitutional rights in the name of social justice. What's worse is that such testimony by the alien at trial is highly prejudicial against the defendant and is highly inflammatory because it suggests the U.S. government found the American citizen to be at fault without any constitutional safeguards whatsoever. All the while, the alien has been found credible by USCIS. Now, the argument from social justice warriors and immigrant rights activists, as well as USCIS themselves, is that USCIS is not passing judgment on the guilt or innocence of the American citizen, but rather deciding if the alien qualifies for an immigration benefit under the Violence Against Women Act provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a legal fiction and is bovine excrement. The net effect is that USCIS, by giving its stamp of approval on the alien's application, is saying, in so many words or less, the American citizen did it. Obviously, the jury will conclude the American citizen is guilty. Otherwise, USCIS would not have approved the application if they didn't find the alien credible. The point being made is that accusations have been fabricated by the alien simply to allow for the alien to obtain permanent resident status in the United States, and nobody seems to give a damn whether these accusations are truthful or not. My solution to this issue would be a requirement either in the law or by regulation that prohibits USCIS from adjudicating any application or petition based on the Violence Against Women Act while criminal charges or protection order proceedings are pending, and that they cannot adjudicate the application or petition filed under Violence Against Women Act until all the criminal cases and all protection order proceedings are over, to include any appeal taken from the criminal case or protection order case. I would also require that in order for an alien to obtain an immigration benefit by alleging domestic violence or other criminal acts, the American citizen must be found guilty of the crime or crimes charged, either by jury verdict or by a plea of guilty. Furthermore, I would demand that in order for a restraining order to be considered credible evidence of domestic violence in immigration proceedings under the Violence Against Women Act, there must be a hearing conducted and a permanent restraining order issued before an alien can use this as the basis by which to get status in the United States. Now, if you doubt me when I say Americans are being routinely charged with spousal rape by their alien spouses or alien girlfriends, I have had 4 rape cases in the last 6 months, all involving American citizens being accused of rape by their alien spouse or significant other. 2 are still pending. 2 have seen the cases dismissed by the district attorney. Historically, I've had numerous other rape cases over the last few years, all of which have resulted in either charges being dismissed or verdicts of not guilty obtained. And if you think this is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet, as the saying goes. When an American citizen sponsors their foreign-born spouse, the law requires that they execute and sign Form I-864 Affidavit of Support, stating they will support their foreign-born spouse at 125% of the federal income poverty guidelines until one of the enumerated terminating events occur. Those events are: the alien or the American citizen dies, or the alien naturalizes and becomes an American citizen. This takes a minimum of 3.5 years, including processing times, oftentimes much longer before they take the oath of citizenship. Or the alien works 40 qualifying quarters for Social Security purposes, which means the alien must work on the books. Or the alien permanently leaves the United States, either voluntarily or under an order of removal or deportation. Consider this. The alien scams the American citizen into marrying them. They get a 2-year green card, and then right after getting the green card, they abandon the marriage, allege that they've been abused, file to remove the conditions on their green card, citing the abuse, and then, adding insult to injury, the alien sues the American citizen ex-spouse under the I-864 Affidavit of Support. It's been written that no good deed goes unpunished. Well, this is a classic example of how valid that saying is. The basis for the domestic violence-based visa is the highly vaunted Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA, introduced by then U.S. Senator, now President, Joey Bag of Donuts Biden in 1994. VAWA was codified into the immigration law in 1996 with the passage of the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act. We will examine the VAWA provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act in detail in a future episode. But for now, know that it exists and that it is routinely abused by aliens engaged in marriage fraud to escape scrutiny and allow them to jettison themselves out of the marriage by simply claiming victimhood status under the Violence Against Women Act. Now, there are two other clever variations of this fraud that we're discussing, and they're worth mentioning. The first, as I mentioned earlier, is that an alien will marry an American citizen in their home country, and then the American citizen comes home and petitions for their alien spouse to get a marriage-based immigrant visa. And while all this processing is going on here and overseas, the American citizen either remains here in the States, patiently waiting for the alien spouse to arrive, or is forced to travel to the alien's home country to visit with their spouse. And in some instances, they actually move to the alien's home country while all this paperwork is being processed. Eventually, the visa is issued, oftentimes more than 2 years after the marriage. And the beauty of this fraud is that by the time the alien gets the visa issued to them overseas, they've been married to their American citizen spouse for more than 2 years, thereby avoiding the whole conditional permanent resident part of the process. They get a full, unconditional permanent resident visa with no need to remain in the marriage for 2 years or to file additional paperwork. So they get to the United States, and when the green card is delivered to their home in the States, poof, they vanish, leaving the American citizen wondering what the hell just happened. And it's clever, actually. The alien remains in their home country, not having to live with their American citizen spouse unless the American moves to their country. They thereby make it easier to perpetrate the fraud, without having to pretend that they love their American citizen spouse, not having to interact with them day in and day out for 2+ years. And again, they can sue the American citizen for enforcement of the affidavit of support. The other variation of this is for the alien to remain in the marriage for the 2+ years necessary to get full unconditional permanent residence, thereby making it more difficult to prove the fraud. However, oftentimes this 2-year period is marked with numerous lengthy absences from the marital home by the alien who, quote, must go home to finish up settling his or her affairs in their home country, unquote. Then once the full unconditional green card arrives, the alien splits, leaving the American citizen high and dry. And once again, the alien can sue the American citizen for support under the affidavit of support. And this can go on as long as the affidavit of support is in effect. The advantage of this variation of the fraud is that they don't have to allege domestic violence or extreme hardship. They can simply get divorced and be done with it. They've lived in the marriage for 2+ years and can simply claim, quote, it just didn't work out, unquote. And this is especially true if there are children born to the marriage. This avoids USCIS having to look at their marriage twice and avoids having to file a second set of papers with USCIS. Now, it bears mentioning that a divorce does not terminate the affidavit of support, and that is specifically written into the law and regulations. Now, as I said, I'll get into the whole affidavit of support issue in detail in a later episode. However, this is perhaps one of the most disturbing and unjust elements of marriage fraud. The American citizen is defrauded and gets to pay for the privilege of being defrauded. It's one thing to be emotionally, financially, and possibly physically abused by one's alien spouse and then get accused of domestic violence or worse. But to then, after enduring the pain and humiliation of the fraud and the allegations of domestic violence, especially if there's an arrest and criminal charges filed against the American citizen, the American citizen has to support the very alien who defrauded them and falsely accused them of a crime they never committed. That's an injustice of the worst kind. Folks, this is the extent to which some aliens will go to get status in this country. They don't care what happens to the American citizen. They are, for all intents and purposes, narcissistic immigrant sociopaths. They have a sense and air of entitlement and arrogance about them that they are somehow entitled as a matter of right to an immigrant visa, despite having destroyed another human being and their family in the process. And the government American citizens depend on to serve and protect them does neither, and more often than not, sides with the alien, pushing the level of betrayal the American citizen feels to new heights. It's indefensible, it's unjustifiable, and it's inexcusable. And yet it happens every single day of the week in this country. Next week, we're going to be looking at the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA, how it started and how it affects marriage-based visas, and more importantly, how it is abused by aliens engaged in a marriage a few feet short of heaven. This road to hell is paved with good intentions. This road to hell is the highway to hell. If you believe you are the victim of immigration marriage fraud or are facing fabricated allegations of domestic violence or worse, made by a foreign-born spouse or intimate partner, contact CSI Consulting at 719-368-2626. That's 719-368-2626. Or you can email CSI Consulting at CSI Investigations with an S at the end at NetEcin, that's NETECIN.net. We can help you and your attorney defend against all of this. Until next week, I'm your host, John Sampson. Thanks for listening.